I'd like to expand on what Bharat and Devarshi were talking about. I'd like to tie in a little bit of what Jyotish and Devi have been talking about this week. The overall spiritual goal that we have is to wake up from this dream of the duality and to realize the unitive state. Jyotish and Devi talked about the ego and rising above it. And on Tuesday, they talked about karma. And we've just heard from Bharat and Devarshi these perspectives on attitude. But when Devarshi talks about the sacred nature of the Kriya Yoga technique, it is very important for us to cognize that what Babaji brought to Lahiri, to Yukteswar, to Paramahansa Yogananda, and then sent to the West is, yes, a world mission, but it is predicated on a very simple pranayama of Kriya Yoga. That is the central message of Master's teaching. If we strip away the World Brotherhood Colonies and the unity of religion and all these very, very important aspects and come down to the very core, it is a technique of enlightenment and liberation, a pranayama practiced in the Sushumna, in the deep spine. And it is a technique which moves our energy from the base of the spine, from the consciousness of duality to the consciousness of complete freedom at the sixth center and then through the 7,000-petaled lotus. That is the essence of the teaching that Master gave us. And I've pointed out on more than one occasion that if Babaji is going to go to all this trouble to bring this technique, he's going to give you the best he's got. He's going to give you the essence of the practice. What can I give them? I can give them one technique. He brought us Kriya Yoga. And we're going to have an initiation tomorrow night into Kriya. And some of us are going to receive Kriya for the first time. I'd like just to take a moment to share something with you. That the excitement and the possibility of Kriya that you feel when you get Kriya for the first time is a lasting legacy if you make it so. I received Kriya about 40 years ago, and I'm as excited about tomorrow night as you are. I'm perhaps more excited. I have more of an insight into what you're getting into, and it's good. It's real good. It's the best there is. And I don't mean to say that in a sectarian way, because obviously the realization of spirit cannot have a limiting component. But all human experience is meant to liberate us from the identification, as Devarshi was just talking about, of our personality, of our body, of our ethnicity, of our position in life, of our good qualities, of our bad qualities. All of this is an illusion. The reality of it is that you are spirit and you are the soul. Fire cannot burn you. Wind cannot blow or dry you. You cannot die. You cannot end. And Kriya Yoga is a very, very powerful technique. I believe it to be the most powerful technique that has been given. Otherwise, Babaji would have given us something else. If there was something else, he would have given it to us. He gave us Kriya Yoga. It is an incredibly simple psychophysiological technique. Very, very simple. You can learn Kriya Yoga in 15 minutes, but you will spend lifetime refining the art and science as Bharat and Devarshi have been talking about. And that is the mystical component of Kriya, is that a very simple pranayama will be your religion, will be your wishing tree, as the chant goes, the wishing tree, everything, magic comes out of it. This is true, though. Everything comes out of Kriya. the entire process of liberation comes from this simple technique and the grace of the guru. And all you need to bring is openness of heart and practice. I promise to practice Kriya Yoga regularly and faithfully as taught to me. That's all. That's all you have to do. It's not very much. Just practice it every day. And tune in to the guru. Tune in to the consciousness. And magic happens. The art and science of Kriya is added the magic of Kriya. And that is the process that frees us from the limitation. And everything else comes from that. This community, Ananda, is a community that is part of a movement. Ananda is a movement. We figured out about 20 or 30 years ago that we weren't a community, we were a movement. And we're a movement of consciousness. And yes, we have intentional communities in which we practice Kriya Yoga. Kriya Yoga, that simple technique, brings us to the realization that we are a part of God. That frees us from the entire dual nature of this universe, in bodies and personalities and improving attitudes, and all these things naturally emanate from the realization of the self. A saint doesn't have a hard time being a saint. They're just that way. They don't have to repress their desires. They don't have any desires except the desire for God. They don't have to behave correctly because they just behave naturally and they behave correctly. So the process of Kriya is the mystical component, and it is our path. It's the center of our path. And it's kind of an odd place and time to be in America with a mystical path. This is not a mystical society. This is not a mystical time in this society. This is a very Rajasic planet. This is a very world-oriented country. This is a very world-oriented time, but it is Dwapara Yuga. And slowly, very slowly, you can feel these currents of mystic oneness, of reverence, of transcendence emerging, but they're not commonplace. When Jyotish and Devi talk about their experiences in Los Angeles and in Hollywood and in all these places, there's not a mystical component foremost in this culture. There is a mystical component in this country. George Washington's dream, it's not given a lot of airtime, but he was guided by an angel to see the future of this country. He saw the future of the Civil War. He saw that the Union would be almost torn apart, but not torn apart. Master gave us insight into the future. But the real mystical transformation is the individual's realization of the self. With that, we have Kriya Yoga as a tool. And we have the grace of these masters. And you individually, as a disciple of Master and Babaji, have their grace at your house, in your meditation room, with you constantly. And from that blessing, we need to practice the technique that they've given us as an exercise in attunement, as the key spiritual practice of liberation. We talk about the unity of religions. I've always just been fascinated by this because I grew up in a spiritual environment in a given church, a Roman Catholic Irish church, but I also knew that there was church and there was the mysticism of the individuals around me. And my mother and father were great Irish Catholic saints, and I would meet various priests and nuns that had a transcendent vibration. I remember Father Marquis, who none of you know, but Father Marquis was a very spiritual man, and I was a little altar boy, but there was a vibe around Father Marquis. And it was very interesting, because when we prayed and when we talked about God, there was a vibration. I remember a May Day when I was a little kid, and we'd have this, Catholics have this celebration on May 1st of Mary, big old statue of Mary in the center of the schoolyard, 500 kids, you know, bringing up, and they're bringing up this little garland of roses to honor Mary, and one of the eighth grade girls always gets to bring up the garland. But I was so cool because I was sitting there and everyone was praying, and beyond the, ritual and stuff, there was a vibration of the Divine Mother. And I was like, always sitting there as a little kid going, this is cool. This is really cool. It's like, she's really there. Mary's there because we're honoring her and we're singing to her. But I was trying to understand how can, I have Jewish friends, I have, non-Catholic friends, and how does this come together? So I was questing after, what is the unity in religion? What is the mystical component? And you come to the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Obviously, I'm disclaiming my credibility by saying I'm a disciple. I've been a disciple my whole life. But I have never heard anyone as lucidly explain the spiritual process of self-transformation and the energy in the Sushumna as Paramahansa Yogananda. He just lays it out. This is what it is. This is science. This is religion. This is mysticism. This is the movement of energy in the Kundalini from the base of the spine through each of the chakras to this point. At this point, the soul realizes this is the seat of the soul. It realizes its unity with God. This is called yoga. And he talks about the unity. And as I perceive that, I thought, this is gold. This is magic. Remember when Babaji gave initiation to Lahiri? And it's in the autobiography of a yogi materializing a palace in the Himalayas. And remember they had the little bowl of that you can get whatever food you want out of it, hot lychees? Now, of course, this would be great for the expanding like kitchen. Food storage would be just a breeze with this. You know, you just get the bowl, whatever you want comes out. But I was thinking about this. And this is Kriya Yoga. The bowl symbolizes Kriya Yoga. What do you want? You get it through Kriya. You in your spine, you see the unity of religion. I wanted the unity of religion, so I want to understand that. And through meditation, through the practice of Kriya, we have that experience of the self as light in the center of the star. And I realized that's what shamans, that's what Catholic priests, that's what Jewish rabbis, that is what Zen monks, that is what all true religions give you, not a similar outer ritual, but all true religion gives you the experience of the transcendent self, the formless Christ, as Master referred to it, but the formless light, power, sound, calm, peace, wisdom, love, joy. That is the experience of transcendence. Through the practice of Kriya Yoga, you have that experience. And then you see the unity of religions. And then you see the need for world brotherhood colonies. Because if we reinforce that in each other, as Ananda has set out to do, then it's easier to experience that. But the goal is to experience that. One time Swami Kriyananda was invited to a communities conference, and they had him come up, and they gave him a long-winded introduction, said that this was the father of the communities movement. Kriyananda walks up to the microphone. He says, I don't give a damn about communities. I'm just interested in places where people can find God. Get their attention. And then he went on to talk about the need for mystical experience, unitive experience, and that this whole community of Ananda, not only here, but in Europe and in India and in the colonies, in the urban settings, no matter where we go, online, the cyber community, meditation groups, whatever it is, it's all about you realizing that you are a part of all that is. That's what it's about. Sure, we do communities. Why? Because communities help people to see that you're a part of all that is. We finish our karma, all that stuff. Devarshi calls it junk, but it's just stuff that we got us here, that it's entangled us, that's got us trapped and thinking that we're this or not that or whatever it is illusory. Blow it away. Blow it away with the realization of the self. Move the energy through those centers into the realm of spirit, where you realize that you are the luminous self. And so Master said, repeat. We said, repeat the poem Samadhi, but Master did more than that. He said, imagine yourself in the state of Samadhi every day. Repeat the poem to remind yourself, vanished the veils of light and shade, lifted every vapor of sorrow, sailed away all dawn's fleeting joy, gone the dim sensory mirage. Dim sensory mirage. This is so boring. This is so dull. This is worse than East Germany compared to the light. It's dull, it's dark, it's drab compared to the light of the luminescent self. That experience that spiritual people of every religion have, the Buddhist masters, the Zen masters, the shamans. I was reading a book on the shamans recently. And finally, I got a shaman describing what is the inner process of shamanism. And sure enough, it's a couple of cords in the deep spine. It's a couple of lights. It's putting the lights together. And I'm like, yes, it's about time somebody spilled the beans on this, you know? We've been talking about the magic potion. What's the magic potion? The magic potion is the love of your heart, given to God and uniting with that point. And that is what Ananda is about. It's an extension of the path of Kriya Yoga, yes. It's very, very effective, yes. But it's not in and of itself of great importance, because this planet is going to pass away. This body is going to pass away. It's just in the time-space continuum, just a little bit of show. But in the God continuum, it is ever new, ever existing, ever conscious joy. And that is the nature of Kriya Yoga. And each time, as Devarshi was saying, and Devi said this the other day, she was talking about doing the energization exercises. Energization, Hong Sa Om Kriya. This is a sacred opportunity. This is the most sacred technique that Babaji has, and he's giving it to you on a silver platter. Would you like to be out of this game, or would you like to continue suffering for millennium, a day of Brahma? Your choice. Maria wanted out. Out. I'm out of this. Because in Kriya, in your meditation at noon, in 10 minutes, you can go into that realm of unity. Every time you meditate to the greatest degree possible with the magnet of your heart, you can drop the duality and merge with the reality. And in that reality is everything we've been talking about all week. The harmony, the ego-free expression of love, the freedom from karma, the peace, the joy, that state is not far away. We've been saying that all week. But we think, just as Devarshi and Bharat were saying, we put ourselves far away from it. How can we be far away from it when we are that? We're not the limitations and we're not the distance. We are children of God. We are part of all that is. Yogananda told Dr. Lewis, he said, remember, doctor, God loves you just as much as he loves me. He's our common father. Every one of you, infinitely loved by the Father, just as Master was, just as the avatars was, are, is, whatever that verb is. It is. an incarnation of God that is playing the part of being separate. And that's what makes it so wonderful when you come home, because all the suffering is tied to that separateness. And the separateness was never real. She tapped her little red shoes together. There's no place like home. She was always in Kansas. She never went to Oz. We can't go far away. This whole thing is just a dream. And Bharat woke up from the dream. And the body was the same, kind of. But Bharat's never separate from God, and you're never separate from God. So don't go away from God. Go into God. Practice Kriya. And remind yourself of these masters. In the Kriya Yoga ceremony, there's little roses that are part of the ceremony. But the roses remind us of their blessings. They're always with us. And what Yogananda told Ophelia Sanchez, I'm always here. Well, of course he's always here. He's omnipresent. He's right with you. Where do you live? You live at his house. You know, we all live in the ashram. We all live in God. Just keep reminding yourself. That's why we have spiritual communities. Just keep reminding yourself. Vanish the veils of light and shade. A tiny bubble of laughter, I am become the sea of mirth itself.